Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. It's been a blessing just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 48, Genesis chapter 48, we've been in a study in the life of Joseph, and Joseph is a type of Christ in the Old Testament, and it's been, what a blessing it's been to be able to see the practical principles taught in the life of Joseph that are Christianity today. It's all about being Christ-like. And it's just been a blessing to be able to identify that and as we study the life and teach the stories in the book of Genesis on the life of Joseph. Now, the theme of this entire series has been God is able to work all things out for good. And Joseph, that's what he would tell his brothers at the end of it here. We're going to see that and get to that at some point. But you might have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God only allowed it because he had something good that he could work out of it. And, of course, Romans 8:28 is that very same principle just put in a verse Bible form. Amen? And it's just a blessing to see that God is able to work all things out for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so last week we've seen so much of Joseph's life. I mean, really sold into slavery. It looked like most of his life was just everything was going wrong. And just when things would start going right, it seems like it'd go wrong again, and just a roller coaster ride. But the one thing about Joseph, even though he was on a roller coaster ride up and down, his faith remained constant. He never lost faith. And that's what got him through. And God allowed all those things to happen to prepare him for the task that he would eventually have in being the right-hand man to Pharaoh, which would save not only Egypt, but it would be a place, a haven for the entire nation of Israel to go to be established as God wanted to establish his children, the nation of Israel. They went in some 70, and they'll come out some 2 to 3 million strong. Unreal, just as we study that. But it's all God's plan. And so as we've gone through some of the teachings of Joseph and the life, we find in verse 47, we studied 47 last week, we found that Israel had been in Egypt for 17 years now. 17 years. And Jacob asked for Joseph to bury him in Canaan. Jacob, Joseph's father, Jacob being one of the patriarchs of Israel. And Joseph prepares himself for Jacob's death. That's what we looked at. And one of the things we learned from that is the best way to prepare yourself for the death of a loved one is be what God wants you to be to them. If you're going to be prepared to bury your parents, you better honor your parents. Be everything that God wants you to be to them. That way when you stand over their casket, you'll be able to rejoice in knowing that you were the son or you were the daughter that God wanted you to be. Get ready to bury a sister, a brother, a family member, whoever it might be, even as a child. I think that would be the hardest thing to do, but we're faced with that. Make sure that you've been everything that God wanted you to be to them. That's the only way to prepare for death. Only way. And so we find that as Joseph was preparing for Jacob's death, we find that he promises to him that he will bury him not in Egypt, but when he died, he would bury him back in Canaan. He would be the son that his father needed to be able to, he would be the only one to be able to do this, to be able to take him out of Egypt after all that Egypt had done for them, but realizing that Canaan was their homeland. And he promised he would bury him in Canaan. He was going to be to Jacob, his father, what God wanted him to be. And now in verse chapter 48, Jacob shares his testimony with Joseph. If you'll stand, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. And there's so much here, and I believe we can get through these seven verses, but it's a powerful passage of Scripture. I really think it is. I think it's packed with a lot of biblical application. But that's what's taken place. The last we heard was Joseph telling his dad when he dies, he'll bury him back in Canaan. And now we find chapter 48. Let's read. It came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel, or Jacob, strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, what's coming to you, Joseph, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do come before you tonight, and what a blessing it is to be in church. And I know that there's so many things been going on with each and every one that's here tonight. And yet they have taken advantage of the opportunity they had to be in church this evening. I pray you'd bless them because of that. As we've assembled here, I pray that you'd help each one of us just to sense your presence in this place. We study your word. I pray that you would give us the truths and these biblical principles that we can learn of and apply to our own lives. Bless the teaching and the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, now I'm sure that Joseph had left a message. My dad's on his deathbed. Before he dies, when you see that he is getting ready to pass, make sure that you contact me. I want to be there when he dies. Remember, this whole thing is Joseph is preparing for his father Jacob's death. He's already promised, "I'm going to be the son you want. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to take you. I'm going to bury you back in Canaan." We've already studied that. And now they come to Joseph and they said, "Joseph, it's time." He's sick, telling him he's ready to pass. So Joseph gets his two sons, which would be Jacob's grandchildren. In his own mind, he's saying, "Let's go to him and let's pay our final respects." Not really knowing that what all would take place. But that's what's taking place. That's what the Bible says is happening here. And the Bible says that when he gets there and they tell Jacob that your son Joseph is coming. And no doubt he tells him he has his two sons with him. Your two grandchildren. But the Bible says that Jacob strengthens himself. He knows that God still has a task for him to complete. He knows that he's not going to die until he's done all that God had him here to accomplish. And so on his deathbed, when they say he's going to die, when he hears that Joseph is coming, he knows that there's still one final act that God has for him to complete before he passes. And no doubt he looks up to God and he says, "Strengthen me for this last task." And Jacob does all that he can and he pulls himself together to where he's able to sit up in his bed. And he prepares for this final task as one of the patriarchs of Israel. In our lives, as we live our lives, God's will should be what's most important. When we're young and, you know, everything else is going on, we're not really thinking about death. We're thinking about career. We're thinking about possibly Bible or college. to prepare for my career. What am I wanting to do with my life? How do I want to live it? And so we start looking for, and as a born-again believer, you ought to be looking for, as young people, God's will for your life. Whether that be ministry, or if you're saved, you're called to a full-time Christian. You're called to be a full-time Christian no matter where God uses you and in what field that He might use you. Not every young person is called into full-time Christian ministry, but every person is called to full-time Christian service. To be a Christian, to have a testimony for Christ. And so the first thing in our lives when we're young, we ought to be thinking as born-again believers who understand that there is an Almighty God, who understands that I am saved, that Christ dwells within me, what is your will for my life? And you ought to be praying for the will for your life. Every parent ought to be praying for the will for their children's life. And once we find that, once we understand what kind of career, what direction we're going to go in, and we start looking to get the right education for whatever that career might be, we want to get the right education to be all that we can be in that position that we believe that God is calling us to, then we usually have to make the decisions, all right, what's God's will concerning my spouse? Who am I to marry? Because that's going to be with you, hopefully, in the will of God for the rest of your life. That is a major decision in life. After salvation, the most important decision that you'll make is who's going to be my spouse, who am I going to live my life with for the rest of my life and serve the Lord and accomplish whatever God has for us to accomplish. Because soon after marriage, then we have to make the decisions on God's will concerning children and how many children is God going to bless us with? And how are we going to raise our children? And we do all this, and that's life. That ought to be life for every born-again believer. You go through the process of this. That's how you live your life. In the will of God. At the end of our lives, the main question would be, why am I still here? My career is over, already retired. Kids are raised. Why am I still here? It's where Jacob's at. And he knew that he still had an influence that he was to make on his children, his son, Joseph, and the rest of the, which would be eventually the 12 tribes of Israel, the children of Jacob. For Jacob, it was to bless Joseph. And not only Joseph, but his two children, which would be a double blessing. We'll see this in just a minute. That's why he blesses his two children, because Joseph now will have the promise of the Abrahamic covenant passed down as a second blessing, a double blessing. That promise of that birthright included a double blessing. So he is going to give Joseph this birthright blessing, which means that in Joseph, he will give him a double blessing. That means that both of these two children of Joseph will become like his children and make up the 12 tribes of Israel. Later on, you'll find even as far as the kingdom is concerned, the northern kingdom was referred to as Ephraim quite often in the Psalms and the Proverbs. As God's calling out to Ephraim, He's calling out to the inheritance of Joseph. He's calling out to the northern kingdom of Israel, out of the 12 tribes, the 10 that would make up the northern tribe. And then Judah would not get that blessing, but he would have the blessing of the promised seed, which would give to Judah. And that's why when the tribes of Israel were divided in the kingdoms, Judah was the one tribe, the one kingdom, because he would possess the blessings of Jacob for the promised seed. But Joseph would receive the blessings of a double portion. That's why the northern kingdom would be referred to the Ephraim, which is now one of Jacob's grandchildren. So he knew that God had a task for him to complete. How long was there between the time that Joseph said, "All right, Dad, I'll bury you in Canaan," until the time that he's called back thinking that his dad is ready to die? We don't know. It doesn't say. Whether years, could have been. We know he was bedridden. He just strengthened himself to sit up in his bed. They thought he was going to die on his bed. So he's bedridden. Being bedridden, he would have much time to think. If you're bedridden, I've been sick. I've been down on my back before, and I couldn't move. You know, when that back's hurt, you have to stay still, because every time you just move a little bit, I mean, the pain goes through your whole body. And so you think, I can't move. And you just have enough, just you, you know, and God. Have a lot of time to think. Amen? He would have a lot of time to think as he was bedridden there. And he would possibly think of the past, the present, and the future. And you see this in how Jacob ends his life. Because as in his testimony, he gives testimony of his past, and his present, and his future. You have a lot of time to think. You think about where God's brought you from. Your past. All the past blessings, all the past activities, maybe the blessing that God gave you as a spouse, maybe the blessing God gave you as your children, maybe the blessing God gave you as His will concerning your career, the future, the direction that He sent you in, that's your past, and you're thinking back over your life, and you think, praise, thank you, Lord. And then you realize where you're at now. And Jacob, he had lived a long life, 147 years. And so he's thinking about where he's at now, and he didn't deserve all the blessings he's had, but now he's here, and he's thinking, God, you got me here for a purpose. He's thinking about the future. We'll find that because he refers to his Rachel, his wife that died. But he's thinking, Lord, you got me here for a purpose. Before I go on to see her and before I go on to glory, you have something you want me to complete. And during that time, God revealed to him who he is to pass on this promise seed, Abrahamic covenant blessing to. Because that's what he does. Joseph comes now to pay his respect, his last respects to his father with his sons. I don't really believe that Joseph knew exactly what to expect. Jacob had strengthened himself for this final task. Now, I love that because he has enough strength to pull it together, to sit up, and to not only bless Joseph and his sons, but then after this, and we'll find, he brings all the sons in. And he goes through and he tells them, each one, what God is going to do in their lives. And then he passes. It's a blessing. I mean, tremendous blessing, and as we'll continue to study this. But this right here, this principle is, no matter what you have, what age you're at, but before God calls you home, He's going to reveal to you why you're still here. Why you're still here. And God is able to strengthen you to accomplish whatever it is that He still has you here to accomplish. What a blessing to know that. There's no accidental deaths with God's people. None. God has a purpose and a plan. And God says, precious in the sight of God is the death of His saints. It's too precious to God to let it just go by the way and not be glorified through it, to not get His will accomplished in and through that homegoing. It's precious to God. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We find this in the New Testament. We find this very same principle taught to us by the Apostle Paul. The very last words of Paul is recorded in the book of 2 Timothy. It's the last letter that Paul wrote, even though it's not the last one in the order, the chronological order of the Bible that we have here. But it is the last letter that Paul wrote before his departure from this life. And he's writing it to Timothy, a young pastor, and he gives him that very same truth. No matter what's going on, God is going to enable me to accomplish what He has me here to accomplish. Paul knew that before he died. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, Paul writes, as it says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me with everything going on and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, God just didn't do that for Paul. We find in the New, in the Old Testament, God's done that with all the saints. Precious in the sight of God is the death of the saints. Yeah, what a blessing there. Well, now we find that after Jacob strengthens himself and he prepares, he gives a testimony for Joseph to hear. And not only Joseph, but he knows his two sons are there, and these two sons will be part of the 12 tribes of Israel. That would be the extended blessing of the Abrahamic covenant. Amen. Everybody follow me tonight? There's a lot in here. There's a lot of depth there, and you have to follow that. What a blessing that is. So Jacob's testimony for Joseph and his two sons to hear. He starts out in verse 3 and says, Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. Jacob had personally experienced God's presence. Before he died, he wanted to make sure. He knew that Joseph was a man of faith. He knew that Joseph had been walking with God, that Joseph had been looking and depending on God to get through all of his trials. And now God has placed him in this very high level of service. But he wanted Joseph to know and just reaffirm that God's real. But not only did he want Joseph, and he wasn't saying that just for Joseph, but he said, Joseph's two boys were there, and these were going to become part of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he wanted his testimony to touch their lives. And to these two boys, he said, God is real. Don't let anybody tell you that he's not. Don't you ever doubt the existence of God. And I'm thinking, that's what every parent ought to want to leave their children. That should be the testimony of every parent. That should be the testimony of every grandparent. Before you die, is to make sure that your children know that God is real. How do you know that? I met with him. He met with me personally. He saved my soul. He's worked in my life. He has done things that only God could do in my life. And I want to pass down those blessings of the testimonies of God working in my life. I want my children to believe and know, because they're not going to get that information from the world. They're not going to have that kind of respect to believe what anyone else says, like they'll have that respect and have a desire to believe what mom and dad say. God has put that in the hearts of every child to want to look at mom and dad and follow them. That's what God's done. How dare us to lead them in a wrong direction? How dare us not to confirm in their lives that God is real? What a shame for us to claim Christianity on Sunday and possibly go out and live like the world and the lost Monday through Saturday. That is not the will of God, and that's not how you're going to pass down a blessing to your children. The way you pass down a blessing to your children is what Jacob did for Joseph in referring to God and His presence and knowing that I met with him. I know him to be real. That's exactly what he's doing. That's why in Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 4, God commands the fathers to bring up the children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remind them that I'm real. Live it before them and then teach them the truths of the Word of God. Raise them that way. That comes from Deuteronomy. Look over there with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to see this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4. As God through Moses is preparing the nation of Israel to take the promised land, to go into the promised land. And he says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is our Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That's exactly what Jesus brought to the world. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. Make sure it's in your heart first. And then thou shalt teach them diligently. First by example, and then by command. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and godly cities, goodly cities, which thou hast thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou planted not, when thou have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. That's what Jacob was doing. He wanted not only Joseph to be assured that God is real, but he wanted his two children to know he had a personal experience God's presence. His testimony after that, we find in verse 4, he says, "And said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession." He received the promise of the Abrahamic covenant. Jacob is telling them, I've received from God this promise of this Abrahamic covenant, passed down from Abraham, Isaac, and now to me, and it is to be passed down from me. Whether Joseph understood all that or not, I don't know. Jacob wanted to make sure that he understood, and not only him, but his two sons. The Abrahamic promise of a multitude of people. All the families of the earth shall be blessed by this Abrahamic covenant, by those who represent God. But not only that, a promise of a promised land. Jacob had such faith in God that he knew that they would be in the promised land. And it would be divided by his children. And he's telling Joseph ahead of time, your two boys are going to get the same as each one of my children. Because of you, Joseph, you'll have a double blessing, and that double blessing will mean each one of your children will be just as mine own. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's a blessing. God had that purpose and his faith and knowing that that was going to take place. And we look back now and we see that that's exactly what took place. Jacob had that faith. He knew that it would be taking place. And he shared that with Joseph and his two sons. But not only, I want you to see that not only was the promise of the promised land, not just the earthly land of Canaan, which we knew that before the end times, Israel would have to be back in the promised land. And back in the 1960s, Israel was placed back in the promised land, preparing for the ultimate rapture of the church, for the end time prophecy. They were only taken out because of rebellion, but God promised that they would be back in the land, and he put them back in the land. What a blessing to see all that. Now, we don't have time to go on. We might deal with that more in Revelations, but that's what took place. But not only in the land of Canaan, but he says right here, after thee for everlasting possession. Not just the earthly land of Canaan, but an everlasting, eternal place to call home. If God worked it out to give Israel the land of Canaan, and we have history to look back and say, boy, it happened. Only God could have done all that had happened in Israel. God also promised an everlasting, a new Jerusalem. An eternal home in heaven. Revelation chapter 21. I want you to see this. We're getting ready to get into this in a few weeks there in the book of Revelation. But I want you to see this tonight because it's what he's talking about. An everlasting, eternal place to call home. Revelation chapter 21. John's writing and he says this. He says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Jerusalem will be dissolved with the rest of the world. And I saw John, and John saw the holy city. Look right here. New Jerusalem. That is that eternal place, that everlasting possession. Those that have faith in God, that trusted, as Abraham was saved by faith, everyone ever since has been saved by faith, and you take on the promises that God had given to Abraham, and that promise is God's blessings for you to be a blessing to the world, and we are if we are the light that God wants us to be, as the song was saying this evening. And he said, not only will you be a blessing to the families of this earth, but you will have the possessions of an eternal possession, an eternal land. A new Jerusalem. A new Canaan, if you will. I saw a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death and no more sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. It's true. Jacob said, I want you to know that. God still has a task for me to complete before he calls me home, and it's to help you to know that to be true. Not only you, Joseph, but your two sons. So then we find verses 5 through 7, we're running out of time, but Jacob adopts Joseph's two sons. In verse 5, go back there, Will, I want you to see this. Verse 5 of chapter 48, he says, thy sons, now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon. And he could have went down the list, but he's saying, each one of them are going to receive an equal inheritance that all my children will receive. And they will make up the 12 tribes. They will receive the tribal blessing. They will make up the 12 tribes of Israel. Part of the birthright that Jacob would now give to Joseph, a double portion. It didn't end there. As we end, I want you to look at verse 7. And as for me, why am I here? He thought of the past, he thought of the present, and I think he's thinking about the future. When I came from Padan, Rachel died. That was Joseph's mom. Joseph was 8 years old when his mother died. No doubt it would have impacted his life. After that, he became the favorite son of his father. And Jacob poured his life into Joseph for another 9 years. Until he was 17 years of age. When he was 17 years of age, he was sold into slavery. His dad believed that he had been killed. His dad believed the lie of his other sons. They had instilled everything within Joseph in those 17 years that they could instill. And it paid off. It paid off. But now he's thinking about all that, and he said, Rachel died. And I'm going to give you the promised birthright. Because if your two sons will benefit from this. I'm thinking God allowed this, but I'm also thinking he's saying to Joseph, because Rachel lives through your two sons. They were part of her flesh and blood. Because that was Joseph's mother. And now God is enabling him to give this birthright to Joseph so that Rachel's two children, her two grandchildren, will receive the same blessing. And Jacob is thinking about how that's going to be a blessing to Rachel. And possibly, Jacob was looking forward to going to be with her. Great thoughts for a dying believer. That's what I'm going to see when I get there. Who I'm going to be able to spend some time with. Going on to see, first and foremost, my Savior who made it all possible. Looking forward to seeing Christ. First one. But then what a blessing to know. I'm going to see all my loved ones that have gone on before me. Whoever they might be. Mom, dad, sister, brother, child. What an exciting thought for a dying believer. What a great passage of Scripture. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. All through the life of Joseph, Jacob shares his testimony, which is a tremendous, tremendous blessing to Joseph and his two sons and to all that would stand over the casket or the gravesite of their father, Jacob. Never know what a day may bring. Appreciate the relationships that God has given to us every day. Be what God wants you to be to each one. That's the only way that you can really prepare for ultimately death. Be what God would want you to be to your parents, to your family, to your brothers and sisters in Christ, the friends, co-workers, even to the lost. Be what God wants you to be.